A63. Number 7A.
We have spent all yesterday in trying to find the first flow of the Word of God so that consciousness gets used to that logos, to the creative logos, that creative sense which is so dominant in everything that we do, but also in everything that ever happened. We must just see that actually all what we have to, what is of great interest is actually creation, because the world has been called into being. We don't know quite how, what it was the Big Bang, but what was before the Big Bang, that we don't know. So, but we have a world that was, our cosmos that has been called into being. We have evolution on this earth called into being. We have everywhere creation. We have the creation of man, and our whole life is a creative activity. Every part of our life is a creative activity. Our jobs that we do, our hobbies that we entertain, all is creative activity. And therefore, that whole concept, what is creation, what is the law of creation, is naturally of greatest importance. I would feel that therefore we can see that if we understand the seven synonymous terms in the word order and culture that word order in our consciousness, that something becomes so subjective within ourselves that actually this law of creativity acts naturally within ourselves. Be it that it acts within ourselves in individual cases that we have to deal with, or the creative activity and the creative law that acts throughout our whole life and that acts throughout all eternity. So if we see that beginning of the Bible, those 7 days of creation, I feel that we have a terrific basis on which we can lean, and when we have made it subjective, then we have a terrific impact of the divine mind, a terrific impulse of the divine mind that constantly governs our life and our action in a creative way. Therefore, we can entertain that high sense of the synonymous term and just always see how the days of creation were declaring that creative activity, that mind would say in the first day, let there be light, let there be activity, let there be active, lawful, intelligent activity and creative activity, that then this impact from the divine mind would always say our spirit in the second day, let that creative activity be a firmament, be a basis on which we can stand, let that be our understanding which can divide between the real and the unreal, which can make decisions between the important and unimportant, so that spirit would always say, I unfold constantly and develop and evolve constantly that what the divine mind has conceived as an idea. So that in being there is that nature of soul which says, and as you nurture that divine idea and keep it pure, in that measure something will happen in you, something will crystallize in your life, something will gather identity, it will be defined, you will be able to discern it clearly and define it and name it so that it is absolutely clear cut, which then would show that in the fourth day of creation that principle says, and I take all those identities of being, I take all that what the divine mind has created and spirit has unfolded and soul has identified, and take all that and show that they are all interrelated, that they are not isolated facts, isolated happenings, but that I, principle, take them and put them together in one relationship, into a system, and the moment everything operates with everything else, it gathers spiritual power. It gathers the power of demonstration, and you feel that suddenly the government of God is within you, that the government of God begins to operate in our life and brings forth the newness of life. And so we have the fifth day, where a newness of life, the exalted sense of life, where we rise above the old landmarks and therefore above the old way of living, and just detach ourselves a little bit more each time, and so that we feel an exalted sense, a liberating sense that has no more limits, and therefore where we live in the realm of infinite multiplication, infinite individualization, and there is no end to it. And so we feel life itself, God, life itself, is therefore that which lives me. And that gives me a sense of true manhood. I begin to feel the sixth day, the truth, where truth says, can you see that if you have found your true individuality, and that true individuality constantly renews itself in infinite individualities, so that you reflect all individualities of God, that that constitutes your form, your manhood, your stature of manhood. That's the sixth day. Now you are really man, and that gives you all the dominion that you need. Which finally brings us to the point where we feel, well, then I have got it. And it is the seventh day where we feel, now I can see that actually there was not a creative process going on, that it was just a revealing of what has always been there, so that creation becomes revelation. Creation is now seen as an act of revelation, where mind has just taken away some kind of ignorance, that spirit has taken away just some kind of mixing up and dualism, that soul has just taken away something of corporeality and thinking always about corporeal identities, that principle has taken away something that feels that we have to govern our life, that we are the governor, that we have to take our life into our own hands, that we are the authority for our life. So that life has taken something away that says you don't have a material sense of life, you don't have a social sense of life, a political sense of life, you have just one spiritual life, so that truth has taken away something else, that it says you are not the slave of the universe, you are master of the universe, you have dominion over the universe. And so we merge into that acceptance that things have always been, that the spiritual evolution was actually always a state of beingness, and that what happened was that beingness revealed itself through this word order. So that creation becomes actually revelation. Just as Mrs. Ellis said right at the beginning of the 7 days of creation, that she says, was not this much more a revelation than a creation? So this is what we naturally learn when we flow through those 7 days. It gives us slowly a terrific sense that actually we can't do anything humanly, that we can only respond, so to say, humanly to the impact of the word order. That the word order itself says from time immemorial, no matter if you know it or you don't know it, no matter if you go along with it or don't go along with it, from time immemorial, I am the I am that am. I am the I am. And I am the I am that was and is and ever will be. What is that I am? That I am is mind declaring itself, spirit, separating and unfolding that declaration, soul identifying that declaration, principle giving to that declaration the power of spiritual demonstration, life giving to that declaration constantly newness of life, truth giving to that declaration the sense that it is that which dominates and which is the master over the whole universe, and love that says to that declaration that has always been, that has always been included in being. It never needed to be brought out as a creation. It was always there. So in this way we somehow culture that sense, and I feel it's a good thing always to remind oneself that that is the only thing that's going on within us, and that therefore that we begin to respond to it. If I say that we begin to respond to it humanly, it's naturally saying that if human response, say, is there, then this divine law can manifest itself much easier, in a more frictionless way, without crisis, without chemicalization, without doubts, and without incertitude, etc. Therefore, we have seen yesterday that this creative word has many kinds of levels, that it is not just the level of the synonymous term, but that it has its human reaction on various lower levels, like on the human level. And so perhaps we can quickly run through this correspondence that exists between the absolute impact of the word and the human response to that word, so that they go together. We have seen, for instance, in mind, that mind always says, I am the infinite creator, I am the light of the world, I am the infinite intelligence of the world. Well, if we accept that humanly and respond to it, then the first day of creation for us, from a relative standpoint, is then actually turning to this light, turning towards this light, to choose the light, see, and not to turn our back to it, but to turn towards it. So that's the first human reaction, that we turn to that light. If you take the second day of creation, where from the absolute standpoint, Spirit says, I'm the firmament, I'm the understanding, I'm that substance of understanding. And therefore, the human reaction towards it is that we begin to decide, to make a decision, to separate towards which my leaning should be, which, what I should adore, what I should worship, what I should value. And so inwardly we have that sense that we begin to separate between the real and the unreal, the ideas and the illusions. And that's a human reaction to it, so that we begin at this point of the second day to put first things first, to put first values first, second values second. Can you see the reaction to it? Naturally, if we don't do that, we get into a crisis. Because Spirit will still say, I'm the only substance, I'm still the firmament, I still divide the realm of the real from the realm of the unreal. And if we don't go along with that and say, all right, I go along with it, I do that too, we can naturally get into a crisis and into a chemicalization, because we like to hang on to both. Is that clear? Huh? We like to hang on to both. So we get into trouble. So right there we can get into trouble if we don't go along. So that you can say, well, what happens then? Then we know, but this is taking a step too far, well, but then we would know that there is a Christ about the Word, and that the Word will act on the human situation as the Christ until we bend our knees and give in. Huh? But if we respond naturally to the command of spirit to divide and to separate and to put first things first, we flow easily along the creative law. So that at the third day of so, God says, I'm so, I'm an unchangeable identity. In my realm, things don't change just every day. But they are what they are, they remain what they are, they don't change. They have definite identity that reproduces itself constantly in its own identity. So that like produces like always. And the human response to it naturally is that we accept that definite sense and see that we rely on that definite sense, and that that definite sense is our only true testimony. And so we get the sense of spiritual understanding evolving within ourselves. At the point of the fourth day, we can see that principle is always principle, and principle says, I'm principle no matter how old the world is, if it's 10 billion years old or 100 billion years old, that doesn't matter, I am principle. And as that principle, I govern everything. I gather together into one government, into one system, all the facts of being. And therefore, if our response to it is so that we say, all right, then I submit myself to that. I become an obedient servant to that. And I get the sense that on the fourth day that I have to obey the divine principle, to be in accord to that divine principle, to be in harmony with that divine principle, to be synchronized with that divine principle, go along with that divine principle, and that gives me humanly a sense of spiritual power, humanly a sense of the power of demonstration, so that like Jesus, he could exercise the power of God. He said, that power of God is within me and I exercise it. It's the power of spiritual demonstration. If we take the fifth day, and God said, I'm life, and I'm always life, and that life is only spiritual, and therefore is the life of all individuality, then if I begin to see that and respond to it, and don't turn my back to it, but respond to it, then I begin to see that I don't have my own personal individuality, but that I have to give up my personal sense of what I am, and I have to lay down the mortal sense of my life and of what my being is, what my mission is on this world, what I want to achieve, what I want to do. I give up all that sense, and so at the fifth day we have that sense of laying down the mortal. And woe to us if we don't want to lay it down, if we want to stick on to the mortal, if we want to stick on to the body, if we want to eternalize the body. We only get into terrific trouble. The idea is that life says, I'm spiritual life, and therefore you respond to it is that you yourself are willing to lay down your mortal sense of life. And then we experience really that sense of multiplication of the limitless newness of life. Or we have in the sixth day, the day of truth, again from the absolute standpoint, the day of truth, we have that truth says, I am dominion, I am really that which only knows its own consciousness, so that man is God's consciousness of God himself and nothing else. And if I see that there is nothing going on, to see that actually only that exists which is, say, truth, itself, truth consciousness of itself, so that I begin to see, oh, if I give up my consciousness, my system of reference, my system of consciousness, and accept the divine system of reference, then that gives me all the dominion I need. That gathers within my consciousness the whole world. Then the world is my So at the last day, the day of love, we can see that the nature of being at the point of love says, I am all-inclusive. Is it quite different than in mind, where mind says, I'm the creator, I'm the creative intelligence? Now we suddenly see that when we arrive at the point of love from an absolute sense, that we see that everything has always been, that everything has always been at the point of perfection and fulfillment. There is actually nothing in the universe of reality which is creative. It's only a revelation going on. And so I begin to see that from the point of view of love, love says everything is already at the point of perfection and fulfillment, but from the human standpoint, I have to respond to that and accept that perfection. So we have in the seventh day a great sense of accepting that fulfillment, always accepting that everything is already at the point of perfection, of completion. Therefore accepting that everything is included in God, that there is nothing outside of God, that nothing from the outside had to be corrected and had to be brought into a true creation, taken out of darkness into the light. All that vanishes at that point of the seventh day and says, actually never has there been any necessity of bringing something out of darkness into light. It always existed at the point of perfection. But accept it, accept it, accept it. That's the day of rest when you accept perfection. Then there is no more struggle, then there is no more wrestling, there is no more any friction. We have just that sense of that sense. Can I accept perfection? One of the most difficult things the human mind has to accomplish. The human mind cannot accept really perfection. It opposes it. Because the human mind has 1,000 ifs and whens and buts that argues against perfection. It is not so easy to accept our perfection. It's not so easy for each one of us really to accept the point of view of love. Namely, that everything is already manifested, that all the manifestation of being are already manifested, are already objectified, are already done. Because the human testimony will deny it. And we'll always say, yes, but I see this and this discord. Yes, but I feel this and this discord. It's one of the most difficult points for the human mind, not for the divine mind, for the human mind, that seventh day of rest. We feel this should be the easiest thing on earth to accept perfection. Say, well, that's fine, then nothing has to be done. We just can accept what is. It isn't so easy. You try it. But if one can culture that more through the first 6 day, where we have a perfect creation, then it is easier to make the seventh step and see that I can accept that sense of fulfillment. So we have here that great interaction between the absolute and the relative, which, as you see, is naturally only a question as long as we are dealing on the level of Christian Science. On the level of absolute Christian Science, this question would no more arise. I don't know how much you know the levels, but for those who have a fair knowledge of the levels, I think they see that very easily. Because the moment we come to absolute Christian Science, our whole discussion is not How does truth relate to error? How does truth act on error? In Absolute Christian Science, the relationship is just between principle and idea, and ask how does principle express itself as idea, full stop. Whereas on the level of Christian Science, we go a step further or deeper in the translation and say, how does principle react as its idea on its opposite, namely on error, on the human mind, on mortal mind, or erroneous mind? So that we must know the laws of interaction between truth and error. Well, here, in the law of creativity, through the days of creation, we have already quite a good example how we can actively go along with the absolute sense if we know humanly which step to take. Humanly, the steps to take is, I repeat it 100 times this week, I told you, you have to stomach it. Humanly, it is always, first you turn to mind, secondly, humanly, when we turn to mind, we keep that turning to mind pure. We don't vacillate between good and evil, we keep it pure. In the third day, we stick to it, we are perseverant in it, we don't give in, we are unchangeable in our decision. At the point of principle, we begin to see that we have to be obedient to this principle, to this vision, that we have to submit ourselves to this vision, that we have to get in accord to this vision. In the fifth day, we know that we have therefore laid down our mortal sense of being, our mortal sense of life, that we can't carry that along with us and try that it gets better through the divine sense of life, but that we are willing not to try to demonstrate the divine in the human, not to demonstrate the divine in the material, in the corporeal, but that we must see that being is above the level of corporeality. In the sixth day, we see that our human approach is that we claim what is truth for ourselves, that we identify ourselves with all the truths there are, so that we are a compound idea man, and so we exercise some kind of dominion with what we already know. We use the metaphysical ideas as dominion and accept what is true and deny what is not true, and so feel at the point of the seventh day a kind of let's accept everything in its perfection. So that's the human reaction to it.